I want to turn with you tonight to a very familiar passage, one of the best known in all of Scripture, and that is the 23rd Psalm. We're approaching our study as gaining strength for the journey, and I believe this Psalm says so much that helps us in the journey of life. I want to begin with some signs of the times, signs of the times. One writer says that busyness has become the hallmark of American lifestyle. Certainly, I'm sure all of us would agree with that. A CNN poll, for example, recently revealed that 59% of all Americans would like to slow down and relax more. That may be a low number, 59%. Two words summarize the lives of most Americans: hurry, hurry, and worry. Hurry and worry. We hurry through our lives, worried about what the future may hold, never reflecting or hardly reflecting on the bigger issues of life. If this is characteristic of not only America, but even our own lives, we see results of restlessness, of this hurry and worry lifestyle. One, we can lose our perspective. We lose sight of what's most important. We get our priorities mixed up. Which leads us, secondly, we sacrifice relationships with our families. With this type of lifestyle, our relationships can certainly suffer. We neglect our mental and physical health. We also let worry eat us alive. How many of you burn your candle at both ends? Read this statement, which may cause us to pause. If you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. So let's remember that statement. But I want to look at this familiar psalm, line by line. In fact, we're going to examine verse 2 together. But it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." There's a book that I read from time to time. In fact, whenever I do a study of the 23rd Psalm, I'll consult this little book. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It's by W. Philip Keller. And it's very interesting to me to read what this shepherd has to say as he reflects on the 23rd Psalm from the standpoint of a shepherd. And I believe the psalmist, by inspiration, does this very thing. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." Here's some insights from Philip Keller about actual sheep and the significance of making the sheep lie down in green pastures. If you think about countries where shepherding and keeping of sheep is seen pretty is pretty dominant. A lot of those areas are semi-arid, arid areas, dry areas, which would suggest to us that it's neither natural nor common to find green pastures, which would tell us that shepherds in Bible times and in Palestine would either, number one, have to go and find green pastures for the sheep, or else, Philip Keller says, sometimes they would try to clear out a plot of land and try to tend the soil and create and grow a green pasture. And under the shepherd's care, when they would find this green pasture, the sheep, restless much of the time, would be made to lie down and rest in these green pastures. A hungry, ill-fed sheep is always on his feet, Philip Keller noted, on the move, searching for another scanty mouthful of forage to try and satisfy its gnawing hunger. But in contrast, the psalmist says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." We recognize instantly how crucial it is for a sheep, as for any of us, to have water. It's vital to our lives. And the same with a sheep. Philip Keller writes this: "When sheep are thirsty, They become restless and set out in search of water to satisfy their thirst. If not led to good water supplies of clean, pure water, they will often end up drinking from the polluted potholes where they pick up internal parasites. And by the way, as this psalm suggests, he leads me beside the still waters that sheep characteristically will not drink from noisy, troubled waters. So the significance of the still waters. But that's from a sheep's perspective. But I think we readily see lessons from our perspective as well. I'd like to call our study tonight a prescription for people under pressure. And from this passage in this beloved psalm, we see number one, the need for rest. For rest. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. As I stated, sheep don't like to rest, to lie down, but the shepherd makes them lie down. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why God made remember the Sabbath one of the Ten Commandments for the Jewish people. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know what Sabbath means? It doesn't mean Saturday, but that was the day of the Sabbath. It means rest. And for the Jews, under the law of Moses, it was the weekly day of rest and worship. And it's clear that God intended the day to be a blessing to man, to the Jews, both physically and spiritually. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So we find in that fourth of the Ten Commandments this principle of rest and how God even prescribed it for the people who were living under the old law. We look into the gospel accounts, and one occasion I want to highlight is when Jesus' apostles come to him, and I can see them filled with excitement, excited about the experiences they had, and they want to tell Jesus all about it. In Mark 6, we find these words: the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. But notice Jesus' response. He said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. Here, Jesus encouraged the apostles to rest. Come apart, and rest a while. I like to say, come apart and rest a while before you come apart. As one person said, our best requires rest. So in a hurry and worry world, what does the psalmist say? What does God say through the 23rd Psalm? He prescribes rest. Number two, refocus. In order to reduce busyness in our lives, we've got to change our thinking about what's most important. Let's go back to the Sabbath day. Yes, it was a day for rest. But even more, it was a reminder for the Jews to keep God in the forefront of their lives. They were to refrain from work, not only to rest, but also to refocus, to think about God. One writer said, with the Sabbath, God provided a time to remember Him and to reorient their lives in view of Him. And how needed is that for us today? In view of how busy our lives get, we desperately need those times when we take our eyes off of the confusing, misleading input that our senses see each and every day from the world outside. And we need to concentrate on the truths, God's truths, that guide us. See, the antidote to our hurry and worry lifestyle is to refocus our lives upon the things that are most important. It can't get any more fundamental for a sheep than to think about lying down in green pastures with plenty to eat and gaining drink from still waters. That's what's most important to a sheep. I believe the message is for you and for me that God desires that we rest, yes, but also refocus on those things that are most important in our lives. Nothing helps us do that more than worship. Worship should bring things into perspective. I love Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, as it tells about Mary and Martha. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. From the scripture accounts, we presume that he visited their home many times, and a few of those occasions are recorded for us. And we see the two sisters contrasted here. Martha, concerned, she's the host that's wanting to make everything just right. In contrast with Mary, who just wants to spend time with Jesus. Let's read that account. It happened as they went that he entered a certain village. Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Sounds like sisters, doesn't it? Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." I don't think it's hard for us to find ourselves in that account. In this world, I think we find many Marthas, and we find ourselves being more like Martha in the hurry and worry of our society and of how life gets. But here's Mary in contrast, and how we need to be like Mary and take that time to sit at the Lord's feet and listen to Him, to grow in our relationship with God. Notice Jesus said, "One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." She was able to sit at Jesus' feet, hear his word from his own mouth, and soak in those truths and gain that perspective that we need so badly tonight. Number three, I think we learned from this psalm to rely upon the shepherd. Again, the psalmist is addressing the fundamental needs of the sheep. Green pastures from which to eat and even rest, and then still waters from which to drink. And I appreciated Philip Keller's comments that when sheep are thirsty, they're restless and they'll go out and search for water. And if they aren't led to that good, clean water, they'll just drink water out of those potholes. Polluted potholes where they can pick up those parasites. And I thought, well, that'll preach. Because there's a thirst, a hunger, and a thirst inside of each and every one of us. And each and every person in the world. And everyone is seeking to satisfy that internal hunger or thirst in the spiritual sense in some way. And Jesus offers that good, clean, the still water. He offers those green pastures that truly sustain. But many try to fill that void with polluted potholes. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." I think about the woman at the well. You remember Jesus was traveling. He stopped in Samaria at Jacob's well. He did something that surprised the Samaritan woman who came out to draw water from the well. It's about the middle part of the day, which many believe, and I think it sounds reasonable. She probably came out midday thinking that she might be the only one there. I think it's a reflection on her past, the troubles that she had had. And I think it also reflects the hunger and thirst that she had in her own life, spiritually speaking. So Jesus shocks this woman and asks her to give him a drink. And she replies, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And then John adds in parentheses, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." But notice what Jesus says to her. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman says to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." She's still thinking about literal water. He's talking about what he had to offer her spiritually. "Where do you get that living water?" she asks. Jesus answered, "Whoever drinks of this water, the water in Jacob's well, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And hear what this woman says. "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." You remember Jesus proceeds in the conversation and tells her to go and get her husband. She says, "I have no husband." And he responds, "You said rightly, you've had five." And I have to wonder, is that the reason why she's coming out at midday? To avoid the whispers, the looks, the gossip. She's tired of coming out, not only to draw water, but she's tired. From the mistakes that she's made, the bad choices. "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." This woman's thirst was far greater than just physical thirst. You see Jesus addressing her deepest need. Just like he would say in a context in the discussion about manna, he said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." All people have a deep hunger and a thirst that only God can quench. And yet, many have not come to that knowledge. And so they're trying to satisfy that hunger, quench their thirst from polluted potholes. Augustine is credited with this statement, "O God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless, searching till they find their rest in thee." The psalmist is saying to restless sheep, "Rely on the shepherd. Go to the shepherd. He will satisfy that deepest hunger, that deepest thirst in your souls." When David reflected on the range of provision he had arranged for his own sheep, he couldn't miss the reliance that he had on the Lord as his shepherd for meeting all of his needs consistently. And the Good Shepherd issues that invitation to you and to me, to come to Him, to have those deepest needs met. Hear His invitation. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you accept His invitation to come to Him to find that rest, if you're ready to obey the gospel, or if you desire the prayers of the church on your behalf, won't you let that be known as together we stand and sing.